Okay, we're on.
Welcome, everybody. This is the May Spira Academy board meeting. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for attending. And at this point, we're calling the meeting to order. And let's go ahead and include the record attendance. Marisa, anything to do on that front other than taking note, perhaps?
Nope, attendance has been recorded.
Excellent. So let's continue, and then we need to go to an executive session. Do we have a no? Not yet. Well, yes. I'm sorry. I was thinking in terms of the public session. So we need to go to an executive session. Can I have a vote for that?
Motion to move it to executive session.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
It's
A
Rebecca.
second.
Thank you.
Guillermina, can you ask for those in favor?
Yes, those all those in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you. The motion carries. Let's go to an executive session.
Okay.
Thank you. So
Motion.
at this time, we need to vote for a go back to the public session. Do we have a motion?
Motion to return to public session, Penix
Thank you, Rebecca. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Pedro.
Thank you, Pedro. All those in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Motion carries. We're going to go back to the public session. Terrific. So let's.
I'm sorry, Guillermina, our guest just
Yes.
joined as well, so Kim White is on now. So we have no public comment.
Okay, thank you, Greg. And at this point, it's about the approval of the meeting agenda. Did you have the chance to take a look to the meeting agenda? Are we okay with that? If you agree, please, let's have a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda as presented, Jeff.
Are we approving the agenda or the minutes from the last meeting?
Do we do that together, or we're going to go for the agenda first and then the meeting minutes, or both? We can do both.
I think usually we only approve the minutes, not the agenda.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, no
It's
worries.
okay.
I just
All
put the
right.
minutes.
Say that again, Greg. You're presenting. Okay, let's take a few, maybe a minute or two, to take a look to the minutes from last meeting, and we'll approve then. Okay, now let's vote. Motion to approve the meeting minutes from last meeting, meaning in April. Can we have a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes from last meeting,
Thank
Penix.
you, Rebecca. Do we have a second?
I'll second. This is Pedro.
Thank you, Pedro. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Excellent. Motion carries. The meeting minutes are approved. Let's move to the next item, which is the spotlight on one of the team members. Margie, are you introducing our guest?
Yes, I am, but I want to be sure I don't steal her thunder. So, because I got a preview of her slide. So, I will just say that As many of you know, years ago, we got involved in helping another charter school, the DAP school, the Delaware Academy for Public Safety and Security. And it was a high school that was to support students that were interested in pursuing careers as first responders, police officers. And we got involved, and unfortunately, things did not turn out well. The school ended up closing. But like I always say, there's always a bright side to things, and things do happen for a reason. And so the experience that we had helping that school actually resulted in some great things. And one of them is Kim White. We met her at DAPS, got to know her, and fortunately, we had the opportunity to bring her on board at Aspida. And from there, I'll let her tell her story. Thank you, Kim.
Hey, Kim, before you start, did you want to share it yourself, or do you want me to scare your share your presentation and you tell
me? I might scare you, but yes, you can share. Thank you, Margie, for the introduction. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's part of my story, but we'll get there for sure. So thank you for having me here. When I was tasked with this, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So I try to keep it as brief as possible, but still give you a good piece of what I'm about. So my name is Kim White. I am the Director of Education Enrichment at Aspira Academy. So I oversee the special education program, English language learners, and students with 504 plans. I was born in the 70s to very young parents. Neither of my parents went to college. I was unplanned and a very big surprise. My mom thought she just had the flu. My mom didn't work and my dad worked way too much, usually overtime or shift work. And when he wasn't working, he was sleeping. Next slide, please. So this is my grandmother. She is an Italian immigrant who never spoke English, and she came to the country seeking new opportunities. When I was not with my parents, I was always with my grandmother. As I mentioned, my dad worked way too much, and my mom, she struggled with mental health issues. So my grandma was my safe place. My childhood friend was my dog named Echelon, and I called her Eshi. She was not just my best friend, but also my diary. I told her everything, all my deepest, darkest secrets. My dog knew them. I don't know if you can tell, but in the swing, that's me when I was 2 months old, and my dog had just turned a year old. So we were only 10 months apart, and I spent 12 and a half years of my life with my dog. I did love school. I had perfect attendance for several years. Even with an ACEs score of 8, it didn't hold me back. If you guys know a little bit about ACEs, it's the Adverse Childhood Experiences. My score was quite high, but I pushed through. I volunteered in 4th and 5th grade at the LEACH program, which was the special education program attached to Colwick School. And that's where I like to spend my time when I was done my classroom assignments early. Next slide. So I did graduate in the 90s. I passed the nursing board exam when I was 17, and I was a licensed practical nurse. Geriatrics was my area of choice, and I was the youngest employee of Manor Care on Limestone Road. This is my firstborn. My world gained a whole new meaning in 1996. I had never known love like that before. And other than God, I think he's the person that saved me. Okay, so this is 1998. This is where I think I learned the true meaning of for better or for worse. My maternal grandmother, my Italian grandma, she passed away after 6 months of being vent dependent in a hospital. And then in fear of not having neither one of my grandmothers to see me get married. I married my son's father on July 16th. And then 2 weeks after my wedding, I said goodbye to my paternal grandmother who died of lung cancer. So after returning to work at the hospital, it was really difficult for me. I felt like I was pretty much reliving the last 6 months of my life where I spent on FMLA taking care of my grandmothers. And I felt like it was really time to look for something new. I knew I couldn't give up. I had to keep going, pick up the pieces. So I took a trip to New York and studied art at the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. Things changed. I had to go back to Delaware and I started to study psychology and began working at Terry Children's Psychiatric Center. Then things changed again. So this gives you another timeline of my year of 2005 to 2006. My maternal grandfather was diagnosed with esophageal cancer and I ended up moving in with him on Halloween Day of 2005. I had already been planning to remarry, so I married my current husband on November 13th, and we've been married for over 20 years. I took care of my grandfather every day around the clock until he passed away on my birthday, October 1st of 2006. On the 23rd of November, which was Thanksgiving Day, my family was directly affected and impacted by the addiction epidemic. And I then was granted emergency guardianship of both of my nephews by the family court. So these are my nephews in 2006. Tyler and Mason were the little short ones. And then that's my son when he grew up a little. And then a picture of me on my wedding day with my mother-in-law, father-in-law, my mom and dad, and my grandfather who passed away. And then life's blessings. So I do have a favorite Bible verse, which is Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God, which reminds me that God is in control no matter what happens in my life and that I can find peace even in the midst of chaos. Next one. So I'm not going to give you a whole lot of information, but I just want to give you like a brief that after three, I was told to stop trying. After seven, number seven, I was told to completely give up. And look where it got me. I don't quit. And sometimes when you don't quit, there's proof that miracles do happen. This is my baby girl who is now 14 and is an eighth grade scholar at a Spear Academy. And my grandmother did name her, even though it came years later. She is Giovanna Francesca, so Italian. Then I come to my next graduation. So 2010, I have a newborn baby girl. I'm raising three boys. I'm in school again, working full time, but still managed to finish with straight A's and a 4.0 and graduated in 2014. All right, so there's the whole other story. This is where I was working very hard to rescue special education students who were aspiring, pick that up, aspiring to be heroes, and that's closed. But that's when Margie rescued me. So here's where I am, but guess where I'm going? Nowhere, because now this is my familia and my home. Aspira.
Nice job, Kim.
Any questions?
Not questions, Kim, but so happy. You're contagious. It's your very lively spirit comes across. And maybe we're the lucky ones.
Mm-hmm.
To have I'm lucky too.
And I'm glad Margie has a special talent to detect talent, which is a lot to say, and increasing the talent in individuals. And it seems that you are an expert with expert hands on that front. So let us learn from your experiences. Let us learn from the things that you have been able to accomplish. And congratulations. We're happy, very happy to have you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carmen. I really appreciate that.
Hey, I just gotta say one thing. So Ken, again, it's like a common theme, right, with our staff, but this fine lady is a workhorse, an absolute workhorse. You know, I'm there at the school very early every day, and she's right behind me at the West Campus or the East Campus, but she works a ton of hours, and she's got such tremendous passion for her job. Again, I think it's contagious thanks to Margie, but Margie found her and noticed we didn't let her go. So just want to put a plug in for Kim, because she really is just a tremendous asset for our team.
Thank you, Greg.
Very well said. Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you very much. You always select. I mean, the question is, at this point, nobody's boring.
Well, you know, it's, yeah. You know, what's really interesting is I think that you can sort of see the reoccurring theme that, right. That people, that your life experiences truly does inspire you to find your calling in life, right. You know?
Yes.
So hearing Kim's background and with every spotlight that we've had, hearing their background and hearing some of the challenges that they had in their own lives and how they've overcome them, it makes them the person they are now. Like, Kim is amazing with our special education students and with all of our students, but she has a knack for connecting with students, especially those right. that have you know, trauma in their lives, because she comes from a place right. of empathy and understanding. So I think that's what's really important, is that the more we have people like that working in our schools that have a personal experience and they have an understanding of what students are going through, I think that mm-hmm. compassion just comes so naturally.
Thank you. Yes. Excellent. Thank you very much for bringing her. And then we have to switch gears and go into the numbers, in which case the master of that class is Greg.
I always get to follow these amazing people. It's like,
that's okay. There's beauty in numbers, Greg. So
okay, so last month in April, we lost our quorum, so we weren't able to approve the March financial report. So what I want to do is I'm just going to touch on this briefly, because obviously the April report, which is next, all the numbers are updated. So they're kind of old numbers, but we do want to make sure we get this report approved. So just real quick, again, this is March. I'm not hitting everything. So for our FSF revenue, our budget was 23.6 million. We have 23.6, or you know, we were favorable by 42,000. Our expenses, you'll see we are at 74%. And I'm not going to go into all the detail, because again, I'm going to kind of update you on the next report. You'll see that we had no variances. We spent $1.7 million. Does someone have a question? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I wasn't on mute. I coughed.
Oh, okay. No worries. We spent $1.7 million in March. You can see the line graph is awesome. That red line is significantly below the blue line, so we're doing great. The local funding update, no changes. We have 100% of our school district funding. And then for our cash report, all the way down the bottom, total amount received to date, which includes the previous year's carryover, was 30.6 million. We spent about 18 million. Had a little bit of encumbered funds, but basically 59% of the total revenue was either spent or encumbered. So no issues. You're going to see the same number for grants on the next report. This year we've gotten $400,000, which is amazing. And then, as always, I put any comments, any one-line variants that would show. I do put the comments on the right, but I'm not going to go through all this detail. Again, I'm just going to get out to the bottom. Again, our budget for expenses, $24.46 million. We had $3,400 in encumbered funds, which puts us at $18 million for the year, or 74% of budget, which is 1% lower than the target of 75%. So I know that was fast, but again, I'm going to give you a more in-depth update on the April report. Before I jump over to April, is there any questions? Are there any questions for March? Okay. All right. So now we're talking about the month of April, which puts us 83% through the fiscal year. And as always, we start with the revenues. Our subtotal for state budget 13.7. We're over that. We're almost at 14, or 102%. Our local, 9 million to budget. We're at almost 8.9, or 98% of budget, which again is fantastic. And then we're over for our federal. Our budget's 882,000. We have 930. Or 105% budget. So grand total budget is 23.6 million. We have 23.77. So we're at 101%, and we still have 2 months left to report on for the finish of the year. So obviously no concerns with our revenue. Expense, reminder, we're at 83% for the year. As of the end of April, budget's 24.46 million. We're at 19.7, or 81%. We do not have any variances to report. And once again, we spent $1.7 million. You'll see that nice wide gap on the line graph here. Local funding update, no change, 100%. And our cash position, come all the way down the bottom. Again, it includes all new revenue this year and last year's carryover, $30.76 million. We spent 19.7. Remaining balance as of the end of April, over $11 million. And total year to date, 64% of that $30 million in revenue was encumbered or spent. No issues there. Again, for the grants this year, 400,000, which I just said is fantastic. And then when we get into our detail for expenditures, as always, we start with our salaries. 11.03 million is our budget. We're at 9 million, or 82%. Other employment costs, or OECs, 5.5 million is a budget. We're at 4.4, or 80%. Total travel, which is basically the student transportation here. 1.4 million is our budget. We're at 1.1, or 78% of the category. And then total contracted services, 2.35 million is our budget. We're at 1.8, or 77%. Supplies and materials, the budget's 2.18 million. We're at 1.4, or 65%. Then total capital outlay equipment. It's a small bucket, but the budget is $37,500. We've spent $11,400, or 30%. And then the big ticket here is the total capital outlay property, which is basically our debt service. $1.9 million is our budget. We've spent all but $10,000 of that. So we're at 99%. And our grand total, all expenses, budget, $24.46 million. We've spent $19.7 million, or 81%. So again, no issues. We're having a great year. I expect we're going to have a soft landing. We're going to be over the projected revenue and under the projected expenses. So no issues to report. Any questions?
Well, the summary at the end says it all. It is good, a good place to be. Any questions or recommendations or something you need to ask?
Hey, Greg, thank you for the update. This is Anas. When do you start looking at next year and taking some of these good variances into consideration?
So Anas, I've been working on, so I typically work on two budgets at a time. So I've been building the preliminary operating budget since.
I'm not surprised.
Pardon me?
I said, I'm not surprised.
So, but it's a great question. So yeah, because we do a lot of trending and again, sometimes there's timing issues as I talked about when we first presented the operating budget. If you look at our expenditure detail, which is where we're really saving a lot of expense right now, but it's timing. I had to project the Longwood grant expenses. Basically, here they are. It's one little over $1 million. We're going to fall short of that, but we're going to pick up the rest of it next year. We do have furniture ordered, equipment ordered, but so that's part of the reason why we're under. But when we look at trending and all, that's kind of how I do the budget. I'm always looking at what we've done previous year, how we trend day to day. Again, what our fixed costs are, that's the easy one, right? But hardly anything on this budget is a fixed cost, except really our debt service. So things like gas, how much gas goes up. So I just answer it this way, and I'm always working on it and looking at it because I think it's very critical, especially my role, to understand the numbers and see how things are going, you know? So that's the best I can answer that.
Yeah, that's fine. And if we need to talk some more about it, I'm around. I'm also interested in, you know, some of the things that you mentioned in terms of encumbrances that are not going to close until next year.
Yep.
Assuming you keep your year end open for some of it and then you defer some of it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the very end of your statement.
I'm assuming that you don't close the year right at 6:30. You keep it open for some of these invoices that are coming in, but at some point you need to defer to the next fiscal year, correct?
That's correct. So, and you'll see that in our financial statement. So this is basically cash accounting, which does close June 30th. However, because we go to a modified accrual when we do our financial, we take into consideration the accrual. So like we have four payrolls that hit after June 30th that are actually charged to this year. So yeah, you're exactly right. So you see that maybe not here on this cash-based financial report. However, in our audited financial statements, you definitely will see that. So truly our cost for this year, no matter when we pay, or even if there's revenue owed to us, you know, we get to count it towards this year. So that's a great question. And I know we'll talk more about it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
If there are no further questions, we need to approve both April and March.
Okay, since I asked all the questions, I move a motion to approve the
Thank
two.
You enough.
As presented by Greg.
Appreciate that. We have a second.
Pedro Vero, second.
Thank you, Pedro. All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Motion carries, and then the financial reports are approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. You continue with the operations update. Great.
Okay, so as far as the operations go out of construction, they're wrapping up. The building absolutely looks phenomenal. I truly expect that we will have our COO in June, which is great. So no issues to report, but I do want to share with everybody because this is exciting news for us. As of this morning, our East Campus, which is the original school building on Ruthar Drive, our signs went live. And what I mean by that So we have a large sign, as you can see. Is that large enough for everyone to see? Do you see the photo?
Yep.
Yes.
So that photo, if you picture the school on Ruth R. Drive, East Campus, that's actually at the corner of Red Mill Road and Ruth R. Drive. We also have another lower pylon sign with electronic signage that is in the front of the building on Ruth R. Drive. So our entrance is right here. Hopefully you can see that. And then obviously here's a school building. So this morning, when I drove in, the top, the Aspira, that was lit up because it's still kind of dark when I get to work. However, the signage, now I know that's a bad photo, but that's because of the photographer, which is me, is very sunny. But the electronic sign, I got so many compliments today from people that said, hey, we got our sign, right? So it was a cool day because we've been waiting for this. But what that really says up there is got camp. We're advertising our summer camp at the East Campus. So it looks a mess there. It's because of me, the photo, the photo I took. But I just want to let everyone know that we officially went live today with our signage at the East Campus. So now we have similar signs at the East and the West Campus. And that's my update.
Thank you, Greg. Great news, and it looks fantastic. Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. We're moving along, and then we have development update. Hi. From Marisa.
So just a couple of updates. I'm going to go a little bit of out of order. So the first is that Lynn applied for funding to have it's called Parent Camp, but parent being a verb. And it's Transformation Family School Community Engagement Model. Lynn applied for and we received funding to have the Parent Camp Consulting Group train and host an event. That event was May 16th and 70 people attended. Food was served for fellowship and childcare was available, and it went toward the parent volunteer hours. There were 5 breakout rooms with community circles. Each room had a different topic for discussion. Facilitators started conversations, but then the parents were able to converse. Some rooms were English dominant and others were Spanish dominant, and there was an equal distribution of people between the English and Spanish dominant families. And they're planning on doing 3 or 4 of these a year. This is it's sort of like similar to like what you when you would have like sort of like PTO type meetings, but it's different in that it's more conversational and there's breakout rooms. So that's a new sort of exciting development that last week was the first one. Then in terms of events, May was there was a team appreciation week. Central office team was very busy. Each day there was a different sort of event, different sort of giveaway. But the luncheon was great. It was well appreciated. They received 7 donations from the board for a total of $725. There was like a fiesta with taco salad bar, a non-alcoholic like specialty drink and dessert. And the money that the board provided went like covered the whole thing. And then there's a little money left over, which they're going to use for an ice cream social at the end of the year. And then just as a reminder, the golf tournament is in June 8th. They're almost at golfer capacity, but they're still soliciting hole sponsors, which I've provided information about after the last 2 board meetings. And they're anticipating raising between 15 and 16,000. And then just sort of flipping back to the expansion campaign. Greg, is it possible for me to share my screen?
Yeah, let me.
Sorry.
Okay.
I should have asked in advance.
Give it a try.
So the expansion campaign's in the final phase. We did receive a $10,000 donation from Chemours Philanthropy, and that is, I think, specifically dedicated to going towards science equipment within the high school. And then there's a few other prospects for additional donations, including, I guess, someone from Walmart is coming in. June is Yorkston Consulting's last month, so we're not, the development committee and expansion campaign are not seeking to further extend that contract. The response to the Friends and Family campaign was not too strong, but the June tournament, the amounts raised from that golf tournament that I just mentioned, are going to be included as part of that the friends and family campaign portion. And then as I've discussed in the last couple of meetings, Linda's put in grants with our representative, our federal representative, and our two senators for wellness centers. We're still waiting to hear back from our two senators. We already heard back from a representative, a sort of thanks but no thanks letter. And there's a talk and tour meetings, Ty Jones from Bloom Energy. So that's sort of the basic update on. And then just to show this PowerPoint that was shared with me relating to the expansion campaign that Lynn had asked me to share. So can everybody see this?
Yes.
Yes.
So this just shows the pyramid that as of May 2023, we've raised $2.3 million of our $3 million goal, but there's various grant applications out. So we're expecting to get closer to that goal. And then this sort of just goes through the campaign timeline, which I'm not sure if the board has seen this before, but anybody who's on the expansion campaign steering committee has seen it many times. But this is sort of, you know, started in 2019 and now we're almost towards the end here. This shows, all of the people who have made donations, both from the board and from the steering committee. That's just to show that. And then, here's the donor recognition webpage. And Margie, correct me if I'm wrong, but Lynn was saying that there's going to be like a plaque or something at the school.
Yes, we've been looking at different examples, but we do want to dedicate a wall somewhere in the school for our donors. We've seen some great examples, but yeah, we want to be able to somehow get this image on a wall.
And then these are these are the individuals and I guess some companies, and then these are different foundations and stuff. And then this just shows the various multi-year foundations that have given, Crystal being one of the big givers, 750,000 over, you know, two different times, and then Longwood gave over $1 million. And then these are just a breakdown of the various sort of donations. So from the steering and the board members, business donations, friends and family. And like I said, the golf tournament total will go into that friends and family, and then the grants, and foundations. So this is just other updates, and this is all stuff that I've been saying in our various development committee meetings, including Yorkston Consulting is going to be done, at the end of next month. And here's just some pictures from tours and talks, lots of important people coming through. Senator Kuhn, Senator Carper. And it's just to look at the school in January 2023. And then Liz and I actually got a chance to tour the school in the high school in April, and we did not get to see the gym. So I'm very excited for this picture because they're still doing the floor, but it looks great. And that's all I had. Does anybody have any questions?
Marissa, did you want to mention the ribbon cutting event?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So there's the ribbon cutting event is going to be, and I'll send an email, a follow-up email. The ribbon cutting event is going to be August 23rd at 3 p.m. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make it, but hopefully a lot of the board members will be in attendance. So did anybody have any questions?
No, just a shout out to Lynn and the team for all the work they did. I mean, I was initially a part of it and at the firm beginning, and then transitioned into the board on this level. But I mean, phenomenal work. It's not easy. And to come up with $3 million in, but 3 years is pretty amazing. So speaks volume. So kudos to Lynn and the team.
Yeah, I echo that. Thank you, Pedro. I just want to add about the ribbon cutting event. So, you know, the last time we had a ribbon cutting event was when we finished all of the renovations at the East Campus. So it's been a while. We decided to have it on Wednesday, August the 23rd, because it coincides with a board meeting. So what we're hoping is that if you think about the evolution of this board and our members, you know, many of you joined us during the COVID years. And so we haven't had a face-to-face meeting where all the board comes together in person. So we thought a good way to sort of incent you to and motivate you to make that happen would be coming to the ribbon cutting event that day at 3 o'clock. And, you know, we'll give you the full agenda of what that's going to entail. But then we would be able to segue into our board meeting. We would actually have it over at the West Campus and be able to be in the new space. And we'll be feeding you dinner. So we hope that, you know, you will plan to come. Please wear your board member polo shirt so that everyone at the event knows who you are. But I think it's a great opportunity for you to interact with our school community and interact with one another.
Wonderful. I love the idea. I hope the board agrees that this is a fantastic occasion to be together and kind of celebrate the many things and accomplishments, including the development and efforts in getting a lot of money, Marisa, the team and Lourdes and Lynn and everybody, as Pedro indicated. Kudos in these pandemic times, getting those results. It is a huge accomplishment. So excellent, excellent job. Thank you. And when it comes to the invitation for that day, Margie, you're going to send more details, right?
Yes, we'll be sending out save the date information and then the formal invitation.
There you go. The only piece missing is that we're not going to offer drinks, but that's for a different occasion. We're going to be well fed, as Margie indicated. Thank you for that. And then, well, the PTO report, Anna, if you are so kind to bring us up to speed on that.
Is Rebecca first, though, for DEIB?
Yes, correct. I was clearly, I need a cup of coffee, an extra cup of coffee at this point.
No worries.
Close to be brain dead, but thank you. Correction well taken.
Okay, so I'm going to be sharing with you what Dee sent me, Deanna Yancey Harris, regarding everything that went on April and May at East and West Campus, DEIB related. So celebration and recognition of Autism Awareness and Asian Pacific Islander Month. Then at the middle school, sorry, that was K through two, second grade. And at the middle school, the final book study sessions for Teaching for Black Lives are taking place in May. So team members have been spending the whole year reviewing texts and culturally relevant lessons, taking notes to help introduce this content throughout the next school year. And future plans include creating a scope and sequence document for a year-round Black history curriculum. So this helps ensure that we provide more than just the basic requirements to comply with House Bill 198. So that's the bill to that requires an establishment and implementation of curriculum on Black history for grades K through 12. Okay, so the Gay Straight Alliance on the East Campus raised a bunch of money, and 30% of the raised funds will be going to the Trevor Project, which is basically a support group for LGBTQ plus community. And then the GSA celebrated GLSENs. So that's the Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network, their National Day of Silence, which is a student-initiated sort of recognition of it's a moment of silence that is a protest of discrimination and harassment of LGBTQ students in schools. And the GSA students join the BSU, the Black Student Union, to attend the Delaware Charter School Network rally in Dover on May 11th. And there will be an end of year trip with the GSA group on the 31st. So BSU East, Black Student Union, members traveled from the Black Student Union and Gay Straight Alliance traveled to Dover. We already sort of mentioned this. Let's see, our students led the Pledge of Allegiance in Spanish and English, and a couple of students gave speeches to support charter schools. East Campus Black Student Union members have been selling Black Lives Matter bracelets and stickers as a fundraiser and made $306. A portion of this is going to go toward their end of year trip to the movies. They're going to watch the new Little Mermaid. So this is a reimagining of the old Little Mermaid that we're that you've probably seen back in the day, with a Black protagonist and updated lyrics to sort of be more culturally sensitive. And okay, at the middle school, they're working on a display for Pride Month. Eighth grade students have been studying world religions, and they will have an artifact day to end the trimester on May 30th. So they'll be presenting a variety of items that represent their cultures and heritage. And I think is that the last one?
Yes.
Okay, so in addition to that, just a couple of notes. One is that we held a meeting to discuss Biased, the book that we chose as a board to read, to discuss, to increase our education. And there were only a couple of us, but it was a great discussion. And the timing of it, we were feeling probably wasn't the best for the majority of board members. So we scheduled a second meeting that I sent an email out for that will take place on June 7th, which is a Wednesday at 6 p.m. And a couple board members signed up for a Meet the Students opportunity and will be going tomorrow to the Black Student Union's poster contest celebration. So that is it. Any questions or comments?
I admire your energy and commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, Rebecca. It's important, and you keep it ever fresh. So it's very much appreciated. And I'm sorry I missed the first bias discussion. I was so looking. I made my homework. And I enjoyed the book. So I'm sorry that I missed it, but I double checked. It's on my agenda. Let me just check. Is it 6 o'clock, correct?
6 o'clock on Zoom.
In there. Confirmed.
Awesome.
I too want to give a shout out to Rebecca for her energy, but also for keeping, I'm going to say, yours truly in check, right? So when she asks, you know, it's almost a mandate, right, in a sense, but a very kind one. And so, you know, he's calling me out on my ideas, in a sense, and holding me accountable to making sure I follow through on those promises I make. And I appreciate that. I'm saying that tactfully and respectfully, but with love, because I think that's what our community needs. If we say we're going to do something, let's make it happen. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Pedro.
Super. And then now, Anna, it's your turn with the PTO report. Thank you, Rebecca.
Okay, very good. Everyone can hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. We had our meeting on May 3rd. Unfortunately, we did not have quorum. We did not have any non-board members there. So it was just me, Mike, Adrian, and Megan. And and Katie was there too. So it's just us board members. So there was just discussion from us. We could not do much because in order for us, we need voting. So the most we could do, we want to do something for our teachers so we can spend up to $250 without having a vote. So we decided to do five $50 gift cards to Amazon that will be raffled. I think June 7th, for the teachers during their lunch, or they're going to have some sort of end of year activity at the last student day. So Megan is going to help us with that. The gift cards have been purchased. We want to have also like a buy-in for the teachers. We only have currently 13 of our team members part of our PTO. So we're going to try to raffle four of those gift cards to those teachers who are PTO members, and one of the gift cards to the rest of the staff. So Megan's going to help with the raffle regarding that. Ms. Cruz has asked if the PTO can take over the consignment of uniforms. Mike's going to look into that. He's our president at the moment. For next school year, we need to do elections. Because each year we need new PTO members for the board. And then we're needing to meet with Mr. Aviles to help with teacher membership for team membership. We want to have 90% for teachers as members because we have a lot of money right now. We have almost $8,000 just sitting there. If teachers are not aware that we are there to help them to fund their projects, field trips, anything, I mean, there's no need for us, and we just really need to be within the community more, so we will really need that help. We are hoping to have a Facebook vote in order to fund a breakfast for the team when they come in August during the team PD, that first week of August when they come in. So we love to give another try to have welcome the teachers, the team, have a little breakfast for them. So we are going to get together in order to hold the Facebook vote so we can get the money to sponsor that. So that's we're kind of limited of what we can do with without actually having a meeting and having members come forward to get the board going. And that's it.
Thank you, Anna. You mentioned the need of getting help. How can we help?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. We're trying. We have 13 teachers on our PTO membership. It's $5 a year. We would love to get on the school calendar, like just the one that goes out to families, just to have it like the paper one. Maybe that could help. So we know, I know that we have the sign. So I'm going to make sure hopefully that we can get meeting this Wednesday for the PTO so we can have the parents come in. We're trying.
I'm wondering,
go ahead, Pedro.
I'm sorry, and this may be a silly idea, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Do we have a student representative as part of our PTO?
No.
I'll tell you why, mm-hmm. and only because sometimes it takes a student to kind of tug a parent, right? One of your energetic, you know, proactive students that believes in organizing and has that leadership skill could influence others. So just throwing that out there.
I'm trying. I do steal ideas from everywhere I can. I love good ideas, I think, comes from others. I would love to have, like, what we're doing here on the board, where we're having our team spotlight. I would love to have teachers come and present at our PTO meetings and have that as a schedule. I know it's not a big burden on teachers. Being a teacher myself, I presented at the PTO for the school I work for once every 5 years, because there's five teachers in my world language department. So we take turns 1 month a year is the world language department. And there's five of us. So I go every 5 years. So I think it's January for world language teachers. So I'm up 24. So if there is a rotation that way, and every month we know, right? So August, let's say, is K kindergarten, and they just come and speak about kindergarten and the first grade team and then second. I think that could be a hook for parents to come and learn. So you have more parents' participation, and then the teachers are presenting. I liked when we started before COVID, we had the teachers who wanted funding. They had to be members, and they had to come and present what they wanted the funding for to get a vote. So it's just to get the community more involved. So we'd love to see that happening again. I know this was our first year back from COVID. But I mean, I always keep saying the little engine that could, so we're trying. We do have money back. So, I mean, it's almost $8,000 that is there, sitting there. So, I mean, it could fund a lot of things. Fun activities are back. Field trips are back. We can bring things for the school, projects.
So do you think there's a communication problem, Anna, or do we need to engage better with teachers? What, in your opinion, is the missing link?
I don't know. We're getting a lot of communication from the school. Sometimes it might be misplaced because there's a lot of information coming at us as parents. I don't know. The sign might help a lot. I'm hoping with the teachers that I'm really hoping to get us doing the little breakfast at the first week of school. We can get them to sign in. Like, yay, we're here. We're here to help you. We're here to fund things, fundraise for things so we can help you in your classroom to support them too for the kids. I don't know. Any and every idea.
Maybe a little brainstorming session that combines, as Pedro suggests, students, maybe teachers. I'm trying to figure out how to trigger people's imagination. Sometimes it requires different angles to be able to start the process somehow. I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, we're doing, volunteer hours. This year that we cut it down to 30 minutes. I don't think that's fair. If you're driving to the school for a meeting, you should get your full hour. That was one of my arguments. But I think people's time is precious. So if they're there for the hour, they should get their hour. I don't know.
I will tell you, Anna, I felt really optimistic after that first parent camp session. It was amazing. We had over 90 parents, family members signed up. About 75 showed up, so it was good. And then we had a lot of children in the childcare, but we fed them dinner, and the conversations, the sessions were really engaging. So the fact that we were able to get that kind of response for that session, I feel optimistic that we are sort of reconnecting, I think. And that's been the focus this year, is reestablishing relationships and connections, because we lost them during COVID. But
that is true. Maybe it's too soon. And I remember I saw Margie that day. She was very excited because of the response. So maybe just a matter of coming back to the swing of things in a way. And if you need like extra help, let us know if there's a way for us to help.
Yeah, and I do think Mike's very much committed. We have Megan now with us on the board. Ernie is incredible. Ernie McGrath, without him, I don't think we could do it without him. Adrian's committed. So there's some good board members there. But it's pretty much us. Erica's doing well with the fundraising, but again, we have to be voted back in if no one else comes up because the bylaws and so forth. So it'd be our second year in those. So we're okay keeping the same board for next year. My oldest is 12 now, so we can offer again babysitting while she's there. We had offered for Honor Society. We have now our middle schoolers. We can offer hours for them to watch the children while we're in the meetings. We had done that in the past. They had opened up the gym so the kids could play while the parents were in the meeting. So we can absolutely start those things up again.
Definitely. That's nice.
Okay.
Yeah, there's things, but I would love the more team members to join us. I would love to be able to schedule the teachers to come in, or even through the Zoom, if they do a little presentation, right. 10 minutes, just this is what to expect in kindergarten. Parents have, so they have some information too, not just, you know, just to see what the school's about and what they could expect or something exciting that's going on in the grade level. And if the teachers rotate that way, they can come in and present once every 4 years or so. It's not, I mean, it's a little extra, but it's not a great big burden, I feel.
Well, so. Thank you for your efforts. They are very well, they're noted. Don't think that we don't pay attention to that. We do, and we appreciate that.
I'm trying. I really
yes,
do.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Super. Margie, I think the next is you with a CEO report.
All right. So it is posted and on Board on Track. So I'm just going to give you highlights. So enrollment is chugging along. So, you know, during this time of the year, there's not a lot of movement when it comes to enrollment. But really we'll see sort of that second wave of invitations go out in early June when we really finalize the promotion and retention decision. So that's when we truly know how many openings we may have in each grade based on how many students are actually being promoted and how many have to be retained in the grade. So that's going very well. And just a reminder, so 1497 is our 100% goal. As far as culture and climate, the East Campus is just wrapping up the end of the year. They do a great job of having the last trimester celebrations that occur at the end of May. So they've been planning on that. Over at the West Campus, our school counselor has been busy with proctoring the different assessments, PSAT, SAT, and the AP exams, also starting the whole scheduling process for next year, you know, meeting with the students, making sure that they understand what their graduation requirements are, where they are now, and what they need to do between now and their graduation to graduate on time. So a lot of time spent on that. The discipline reports, as you can see, incidents per day on the East Campus, a little lower than April, a little higher on the West Campus. But overall, you know, we've been able to tackle reoccurring sort of situations with students and really trying to be proactive in getting parents and families engaged in understanding some of the challenges that students are having today. I think I mentioned at the last meeting, we hosted a vaping presentation for parents. So, and we also did it in school with the students, but understanding the dangers of vaping and you know, making sure that we have the right tools in place to make sure that we can also detect those types of things and also then respond and address them appropriately. But overall though, you know, it's been a typical sort of May. You know, at the high school, students are looking forward to the end of the school year. They had the prom. So there were things to sort of help to motivate them to stay focused. As far as the update for the East Campus, as mentioned, you know, we are trying to be very thoughtful about making sure we recognize the different heritage and recognition months. And we always have a display in the school to honor those different heritages. The parent camp, as mentioned, was great. Jose and I tag teamed. He had been nominated for an IDA award, and the event for IDA was the same night as the parent camp. So I took care of the parent camp so that Jose could go to the IDA awards. It was a great success. Big kudos to Wanda, who helped to organize it. But it was amazing how Wanda and Lynn were able to really get such a great group of people that consisted of teachers and parents, community partners, were involved. And, you know, we had five different sessions going on and we had two different rotations. So by the end of the event, everybody was able to attend at least two sessions that they were interested in. And as was mentioned, you know, we were thoughtful about making sure that those conversations were available in English and Spanish. The session that was the most heavily attended was the Spanish session with Nayeli Nunez, who is one of our kindergarten teachers. It was a packed house. It was over 30 parents in that group and having a very engaging conversation about the struggles of parenting and how to support their children as they're navigating, you know, social media and the use of cell phones and when to turn off the cell phones. I mean, it was really interesting to hear the conversations going on in the classrooms. We look forward to having the next one in the fall. We're thinking September. The Accelerated Learning Summer Program. So we are ready to start this summer. We are fully staffed for the program. And, you know, this is going to be the third and final year of having this. This was part of the ESSER funds that we received, but this was in response to obviously the learning loss that our students, all students suffered, and being able to provide them some more time learning. So there is extra funding that we're being provided to continue this program. But even after the funding stops, we'll continue to roll it into our regular summer programming to make sure that we have these opportunities available to students. Last week was a lot of concerts. The elementary had a concert, and then the middle and high school had their concert 2 days apart. Great talent from the students. This week we wrapped up Alex's Lemonade Stand, which, as you know, is a school tradition. It's our largest fundraiser. It's really a great example of how we really try to instill community service in our curriculum. So the students not only get to be involved in the fundraising, but they actually make the products that they sell, and they organize the event. And then they have the pride of being able to then donate the final amount raised to the organization, and they understand the cause behind the organization. The eighth graders went on their end of year trip, which is actually an overnight trip to North Bay. We've been doing this overnight stay now for, I think it's been probably about 7 years that we've been doing this. So the students get an opportunity to really get to know each other, spend time with each other. There's these great team building activities that they do at this camp in Maryland, and they really have a great time. We have our field day events coming up. So a lot of fun things going on at the end of the school year. And obviously we're always praying for perfect weather. It definitely gets a little tricky when the weather doesn't cooperate, but hopefully we're going to get good weather. At the West Campus, it was an amazing month of firsts, as Debbie says here. They had their first SAT, their first AP computer science exam. We had our first IDA winner, which was Lisa Westerfield. Won in her category, and she was honored that evening. And we also had Kiera won for the East Campus. I forgot to mention that, the East Campus. So we had, and I believe I shared the nominations with the board. So we had about, I think we ended up having about 20 team members attend. Actually, about 15 members attend the IDA Awards, but we got two winners. Kiera won in her category, so round of applause for Kiera, and then Lisa Westerfield won in her category, she's one of our teachers over at the West Campus. And we also had our first prom, which I'll show you some pictures. I got the opportunity to go over there to see how it all came together, and it was really amazing to see the students all dressed up and just so happy to be able to have sort of their first normal high school experience, you know, since starting in the fall of 2020 when we opened the school. And then they'll be doing some end of year school trips coming up. But let's get to the pictures, because those are amazing. So look at our handsome and beautiful students. They really came and they had quite an entrance, It was at the Executive Conference Center, which I don't know if you know where that's at, but it's right up the road on 896. And what's nice is right next door is Sky Zone, which is a trampoline center. So that was their after party. So that's them at the after party as well. But the students had a great time. The students were well behaved. I'm very proud to say we didn't have any incidents. I think kudos to Debbie and her team and Jorge, our dean of students, and the culture and climate team, really setting the expectations on what would be acceptable behavior at the prom. We did hire a state trooper to be there present, just to be safe. But it really did come together very nicely, and the students really had a good time. We have final exams going on this week, and then they'll go on to Six Flags on the 31st. So athletics, the spring sports have wrapped up. So as you can see from the record, students, this is a reoccurring theme at Aspida. A lot of our students don't get the opportunity to really get involved in sports and early and, in their elementary years. So for many of them, they're coming onto our middle school and high school teams a bit inexperienced. But so it's a work in progress, and we're proud of the fact that we see so much growth in them from the beginning of the season to the end. So for us, we focus on that as opposed to the record. But it's nice that we were able to actually roster four sports. So it was baseball, softball, girls soccer, and track and field. And at the, and volleyball. So we did have five sports at the West Campus. A nice thing that we're doing is Christiana Care, they have a mobile van. So they're coming to the school one day in June, July, and August to really help students get a head start on getting their physicals. A lot of times that ends up being, a barrier that the students don't plan accordingly, don't get that physical, and then they're not eligible to participate in sports. So we're trying to make it easier for our families, make sure we get those physicals completed over the summer and they're ready to go. At the middle school, we also finished up. We had the spring banquet on the 19th. We had softball and girls soccer, baseball, boys volleyball. You can see there MVPs and most improved. And the coaches pick. So it's great to be able to give these opportunities to our students. One of the things that we are working on, and I'll provide you more details about that as we move along. But one of my summer projects is working on the athletic program and finding ways to work within our extended care program, like our aftercare program and our summer program, to provide students at a younger age the opportunity to develop the skills in sports and really prepare them for the experience in middle school and high school. Just making sure that we give them that opportunity to really showcase their talent and really have that sense of pride in being able to be competitive in the sports. Performing arts has wrapped up. As I mentioned, they had their spring concerts last week. And this Friday, though, the middle school students will be going to participate in music in the parks. So they'll be making a field trip. They are going to Hershey Park this year. And that's about it. That's my update. Any questions?
No, great job, Margie. I don't have any questions, but congratulating you. I'm already tired.
May is a tiring month.
By looking at the many activities that you have to do. But, I'm glad you have the stamina and energy. Congratulations.
I don't. They do. I remember I'm the oldest one on the team here, Greg and I. So, but luckily, we have a great team. They have a lot of stamina.
There you go. Excellent. Any questions to Margie?
No, I'm going to chime in real quick, Margie. If you need help with the sports program pieces, finding the time is going to be the tricky part for me. But I think that, you know, sports teaches us about perseverance, communication,
yes,
all the soft skills and strong skills. It's not just about winning a game. It's about,
correct,
you know, developing relationships and having confidence to try something different. So count me in on whatever you need. I mean, I have a pretty good network of coaches that may, you know, help us with soccer or baseball specifically.
Great.
You know, so just let me know, and I'm sure that they would do clinics or, you know, help us out with, you know, instructions to the coaches. We do coaches clinics to coaches on best practices, things like that. I do that now. So
thank you, Pedro. Yeah, I met with one organization on Saturday, but we need to have some follow-up conversations. But the nice thing is that there's people out there in the community that are willing and able to help us. So thank you for adding yourself in that group. But so it's just a matter of organizing it. So what's nice is it's a great situation. It's not a shortage of volunteers, but it's just somebody to organize it. But I'm excited about that because I agree with you. I think it is a critical part of their development. It's not about the wins and losses, but it's about what they gain, the skills and the experience that they gain from it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Margie. And with that, it seems that we have reached the end of the agenda, which implies that we need to say goodbye. And for us to do that, we need to ask for a vote for the adjourning of the meeting. So do we have a motion for that?
I'll make a motion on the condition that I get to accolade this group yet again, always. So, you know, amazing calls. I don't miss them even if I'm driving cross country. A, because you need me. B, because I need you, right? So thank you, everybody, for joining the call. So I'll make a motion on that note.
Thank you, Pedro. Very nice. Very nice. Do we have a second for that?
I second. This is Rob.
Rob, thank you very much. And again, happy to see you and have you as part of the team as well. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And with that, we conclude the meeting. Thank you very much. And time for the jammies.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, all.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.